Hey, good day, folks.
Hi, Lance. Everybody.
Hello.
Hello, Argentina won.
Yeah, I'm really happy. Yeah,
That's
big
great.
party.
Super great.
Hello,
Hey,
hello.
Dimitri.
Who are you?
Doing good. Dimitri, do I know you?
Good.
Dimitri, would you like to introduce yourself? Like, okay. All right,
No
let's.
English. No English.
Okay.
In Russia.
Russia.
Я не
Very.
понимаю.
Okay, let's see.
Yes, I am male. Send more
Here's
mail.
our documentation for today. Feel free to add yourself to the attendees list. This is the Aries DidCom V2 working group for December 19th, 2022. We meet weekly, and I should remind you about the Hyperledger antitrust policy and the Hyperledger code of conduct. And yeah, feel free to add yourself to the attendees list. And who else? Anybody else new? Let's see. We've got Bruce and Rodo and Hakan and Judith. So looks like no one else is new. Great. Okay, let's see. Quick updates. Don't know of anything with Aries Agent Test Harness. Dimitri, are you interested in DidCom V2?
No pawn.
Okay. Well, let's see here. I'll put you on mute if I can. Let's see. Give me 1 second to claim ownership.
Help me, job.
Yeah, give me 1 second. I'll claim host and then we can get started. Okay. Okay, I have the power now.
Do we need to record the meetings?
No, it I believe it auto records, although I can double check that.
Yeah, I see the rec button, the recording.
It is recording. I think the recording then got posted to the Slack or not to the somewhere. I don't know.
No chat block.
Okay, I have ejected Dimitri. Sorry for that. Let's go back to sharing. That's the difficulty, I guess, of an open meeting. Okay. And of course, now my screen has changed. All right. Yeah, sorry about that, everybody. Yes, we are recording. I think that happens automatically for us. All right, updates. So Ares Agent Test Harness, I haven't done anything with that. I've been meaning to, but I've been buried in basically a release that I need to get done for this week. Anybody done anything with Ares Agent Test Harness or Ares Escar stuff? Most of that should be good. I did post in our chat channel Timo had posted about how they're hoping to handle connections in AFJ, which is something that we've talked about with Akapai and Hakan and Judith's work. So I did post. Sorry, I think I know how to use the internet. Here we go. Basically, Timo gave some suggestions about their connection record and what they'd like to do. I think Hakan took a look at it. Did you want to say anything about it, Hakan?
Nothing particularly. It looked like it is very similar to Did Exchange, but I think Timo replied back to that comment and said it was related to DidConv1, if I remember correctly. So, overall, in general, it looks very similar to what the endpoint of Did Exchange would do. Like, look at a public did, if you find it, resolve it, and establish a connection, basically.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Thank you. for today, the topics that I've posted. Nick Reynolds posted his libp2p DidCom contribution as a pull request. That might be worth looking at. I started to look at it, but I haven't made it completely through yet. He gives quite a bit of information here. Did anybody else take a look at this yet? It's nice because it's libp2p has quite a bit of functionality added to it, including there's people who have built like Bluetooth transport support and things like that. Anybody else know more about it? Well. Something to be aware of, so I put it up there. I'm looking forward to going through that. And then I thought for today we could essentially keep working on our Ares Interop Profile 3, but let's go around and do updates first, if anybody has updates from their projects and how it's going. Maybe Bruce, if you want to start.
Yeah, nothing's happening now. Our students are taking their holiday break. I have some questions about, just one question, which is, did we get them started correctly on DidConv2? We had them implement a Did Exchange protocol. But I believe Did Exchange is for V1, so I'm not quite sure what we should have had them start with.
Yeah, that seems to be a repeating confusion between DIDCOM V1 and V2. It's not, I guess it's not intuitive to think that there is not a DID exchange step. That was part of maybe the simplification of DIDCOM in DIDCOM V2.
I'm glad it's a simplification.
Yeah, so essentially receiving a DIDCOM V2 message is essentially how you're establishing the connection. Did we want, is there a good guide
the guidebook, I think the Hello World.
Yeah,
I
guess the thing is, this probably doesn't warn someone that things have changed between DIDCOM V1 and V2. For instance, they would be natural.
It's not related to V1, so nothing to V1.
Yeah, so maybe
that's actually fine for the students who haven't encountered V1. It's just challenging for those of us who are guiding them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That will help.
Yeah, I think.
If you follow the starting using and ending a DIDCOM connection, will guide you how to establish normal connections. Just a simple message. I think that's the way it can be handled easily without the exchange. Of course, that's dependent on the library, because if, as Hakan pointed out, if you have a library in V1 and it's being translated to V2, then that library may require something like a protocol to establish the final connection and set up in the database. But DIDCOM V2, simplest DIDCOM V2 is just one message, one way, and then you can replay back and establish the connection on the other side.
Thank you, Rodo. That's helpful. I will study this. And the students are actually, if I understand it correctly, building their own DIDCOM V2 library. So,
right.
But they do speak Python, so. I think
well, Python. That's Python, so so they can use it. This is a notebook, so they can test it on the cloud as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, thanks, Bruce. Let's see, Hakan, you want to give any updates for this week?
I don't think I have any points for this week.
Okay.
There was no additional topics that I worked on related to DIDCOM V2, but maybe Judith has something to add.
And not really, unfortunately, because I was sick during the whole week.
So. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, that's a lot of people out sick right now. And then of course holiday stuff. So yeah, fair enough. I do think, did we talk about it before? I guess we won't meet next week. I think so. I think I updated the calendar for us. We'll meet again. Let's see here. Just double checking.
It'd be January 9th,
probably. Yeah, the 9th. The 9th. Should be back. Yeah, very good. And I just want to make sure I removed it. Yeah, I did remove it from the calendar. So they gave me permission for that. That's right. So good stuff. Okay. And then Alex and Rodo, either of you have updates you want to give?
Nothing on my side.
Okay. Yeah,
cool. Same here.
Okay, great, and I'm not missing anybody. Yeah, okay, good. All right, so let's take a look at the Ares NRL profile 3, and yeah, we could add some things to this and just go through it. I think most of you have seen it, but I don't think we've actually just, you know, taken a session here to go through it, if that's good with everybody. Okay, so is everyone happy with this initial base requirements for AIP3? What do we need to add? We have the spec, DIDCOM V2, which includes these protocols on top. I think it is interesting that basic messaging is separate. Am I right? I think
basic messaging is
down here. Is that, do we feel like that's right to be separated from the base requirements?
From my point of view, it makes sense because once we have the DIDCOM covered, we want to use it for different purposes, and basic messaging is one of those purposes. Basically, I would compare it to having this protocol similar to credential exchange protocols. But yeah, on the other hand, enough. We do have base requirements for credential exchange.
It does seem a little weird to me that there could be a DIDCOM implementation without basic messaging. And then, yeah, you're right, that then we're showing transfer of credentials. I would imagine, well, I guess it doesn't matter to say which one's more important or more common, but any thoughts on that?
Basic is just for a chat application, at least. It's for two persons talking, right? It's just a specific type of message.
Yeah.
But only, I think it's only can be used for a chat, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
did we want to peel this portion out in terms of being able the wacky, well, it says wacky pecs, but wacky DIDCOM, is that something we want to separate as well, or at least comment that we think should, or do we want to leave it here?
If we look into the first AIP 1 and 2, I think those are really related to Aries, and this is really related to issue holder verifier, issuing credentials and presenting credentials, like as what's it's supposed to do. And if you look into the AIP 3.0 also from the same perspective, and that's the if, then I think this is fine the way it is, because we're covering everything related to DIDCOM support functionalities to issue, be able to issue and present credentials.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yes, I have a perspective because we're asking our students to implement, I guess, to follow the spec for DIDCOM V2, I guess. And we don't intend to issue credentials or require proofs. We'll be defining a custom Pico specific protocol on top of DIDCOM V2, and that's as far as we're going to go. So from that perspective, it would be nice if our students could say, yeah, we're AIP 3.0 with no options. Whereas if there's a credential exchange and proof portion that's required to be AIP 3, then they won't reach that point. But that's a strange way to think about it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But a good point also.
For sure.
Anyway,
And it kind of gets back to what we talked about before, where we're trying to help people to know the common path, but also like the simplest support that they need first in order to kind of add the optional things. And so we've even talked about Wacky being something like, oh, you know, Wacky Didcom simple, you know, not even implementing everything from Wacky Didcom. So I am concerned that someone new coming in, they don't really know, and then they see this and they're saying, okay, like, this is what I need to support. And then they get into like Wacky Didcom, let's say, and then they're like, wow, this is a lot of work. Maybe I won't do this, you know. These are the lessons of JFF, which, by the way, I met with Sharon from JFF this week. And just was trying to convey to her that it was really valuable that they kind of created the JFF challenge to have these multiple tracks with OIDC and Didcom. Now they are focused on transferring credentials, but because they, you know, created a Didcom track and Alex worked with Schnorr and Brian Richter, and which maybe Alex, if you want to give any updates on that, you can in a second. But I guess the lessons learned from that is part of the reason that this group meets is because of the difficulty that those groups went through as they were coming up to speed on Didcom, and specifically Didcom V2. And so, yeah, I that's why this concerns me the way that it is. Those are my thoughts. Alex, any updates on JFF or thoughts on those things?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're saying like makes sense, like also in terms of like the WakiPack specification. Like in the AFJ meetings, they were mentioning how like we need to upgrade to like 3.1 and 3.2 to like issue multiple credentials at the same time. So from that perspective, I think that the issuance and exchanging of credential is only going to get like more complicated in terms of like, I think you can break it down to like, hey, you can send a credential, or like, hey, you can request a credential before sending one, or like, hey, you can request multiple before sending one, or you can request multiple before sending multiple. That's like the different configuration of WakiPacks per se. And yeah, I think it's relatively high degree of entry, but I hope that most developers won't have to write the low-level code of doing the protocol exchange. And they just have to worry about like the business logic of like what credentials they're sending through. At least that's how I'm envisioning an agent on my behalf. Like, I'm not trying to, if I were to be a developer to use an agent, I wouldn't go ahead and like implement my own protocol. I would just kind of like, whatever that agent protocol has, I would just work with that. Yeah, those are my thoughts.
But just to, I guess one of the things when I was talking to Sharon, and she had done she did a presentation actually at DIFF, the mm-hmm. DIFF, I think, interop meeting, which is what sparked me to want to meet with her. But my sense is that everyone came out of this, or at least Sharon and people who are watching closely, they came out of it thinking, okay, Didcom is complicated, and so they didn't make as much progress as the OIDC, what do they call it, VC or something, track. And what was the other track? Was it?
It was a VC API, like the HTTP, okay. VC HTTP, choppy, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So if everyone comes out of that, and what I tried to explain in the diff interop meeting is, okay, well, part of the reason that Didcom, you know, maybe went slower is, for one thing, we're in this, you know, space of, you know, Didcom V1 implementations existing and Didcom V2 implementations being very new, you know, teams having to decide, are we going to do V1 or V2? And then, you know, a V2 team kind of formed, and people are building their own implementations because they want to learn. But then, you know, there's all these pain points about crypto and even just DID methods and things like that.
I definitely agree that Didcom is more complicated, I wouldn't say it's necessarily like more complicated. I think that the problem there is that the other two groups had like more tooling available to the developers. So like, right? Yeah. Imagine if like Chappie had a problem between like HTTP 1 and like HTTP 2, right?
Yeah.
But everybody knows HTTP, like which protocol to use. So that's kind of like the struggles that we were encountering with our implementation. So like a lot of like the low level stuff was not matching up, whether with like Chappie and OIDC Connect. They already had the libraries kind of like working together, and all they had to do is implement the flow. Whether the problems that we had was like slightly different than those. So yeah, that's why I think like from like a DidCon V2 perspective, and also like we kind of like started late. So trying to troubleshoot all those low level problem, we didn't like anticipate for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of like the issue there. Cause yeah, like Brian was able to talk to Brian like recently, and then like he was able to work like the Chappie extension in like 2 days, since like everything was already there and you can demo Chappie pretty much by just simply copying and switching a couple of variables around, and that would be it. So yeah.
So is anyone else in this group kind of concerned about those things, or is this something that, you know, we're just, we have a recency bias and, you know, our own experience type bias? Is it, should it be our focus as part of the AIP 3.0 to make it very clear kind of what is most common and what's available for developers as tooling, and for us to focus on, you know, making sure that the tooling that's needed is a high priority, and that the community, the Aries community and beyond, has it? How much should those kinds of thoughts be affecting AIP 3.0?
Yeah, I personally think we should try to pretty much figure out like the minimum basic requirements, right? Because right now, if you use DidCon V2, you're most likely using Did peer and not using any other Did method. And that's because of the library support, right? It's not because people don't want to use other Did methods. And whenever you try to integrate different Did methods, it's relatively challenging for the DidCon libraries. So yeah, trying to figure out like a minimum set of requirements, like signature schemes, elliptic curves that we're using for like an agent, just so they can talk to another agent. It's I think would be helpful. Yeah.
Other thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. It's just I think, well, the AIP shouldn't matter on the what toolings, or maybe work on the tooling side, but working on putting what is this minimum and the minimum protocols, and maybe even go farther and say on this protocol we're using that way. For example, static PRDIDs. There's three type of PRDID, algo 0, 1, and 2, I think. Just say which one. And that way, also maybe on the mediator, how we put the routing DID in the service endpoint. Just to agree on how we're gonna do it for AIP3. And if you do it that way, your test will pass, right? So that's, I think, will be helpful.
So is that how would you like to document those things here?
Well,
so
we have some says, for example, this feature 627 static PRDIDs. Some current says he's gonna update that to he's gonna create a new one with that in mind, at least. So he's gonna change that. That was mentioned on the last AIDIS call last week.
Okay,
probably there we should put like a paragraph. That if you're using Did peers with a mediator, you should put the service endpoint in this way, right? So everybody can understand when they receive a routing DID on that part, where it can be structured.
Let's see. You can you say that again? Using did peers in a mediator.
Yeah, when you use listen, here we are agreeing where we are gonna do did it combi two with did peers, right? That's
yeah.
The minimum. And yeah. Then if you use a mediator, the mediator give you a routing DID. That routing DID will be part of your service in your DID document. So we should agree in a way where we should put that DID, that routing DID. So because the specification is not that clear, there's a field called routing keys, there's a URI, there's something that I there's a thread on the Discord chat regarding that, and I say something, then Steven say another option, Timo another one, Brian a different one. So there's many ways to do the same, and the end is the same. It's
yeah,
just using the routine DID.
Yeah. Okay. So, any other thoughts in terms of breaking out Wacky Didcom or Wacky Pex, as it used to be called, breaking it out into a separate section?
I would like to put in another plug for following the layering of trust over IP.
In other yeah. Words,
Didcom V2 on layer 2, if I follow the spec and perhaps the static peer dids.
Yeah.
And I'm AIP 3 at layer 3 of trust over IP. If I, in addition, have at least one, I implement at least one method for exchanging credentials.
Yeah.
I think I would argue that AIP3 is actually having components or RFCs from all three bottom layers. Like on the bottom, we have, for example, the static peer dids is one of the features that are supposed to be implemented. On the area of agent layer, we do have the DITCOM as an encryption envelope. And yeah, on upper layers or like on the layer 3, we would have the exchange protocols issue credential present proof.
That's a good point. I had forgotten layer 1, which is also involved, because in our project, we're only using peer dids. We're not using any BDRs.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Lance, I think my question would be, we are going to have a profile, and this profile is important. So once two agents are creating a establishing a connection using DITCOM V2, like the protocols, then they would be able to. So what exactly, what would that mean? Like, does it mean that they can exchange a set of credentials? Does that mean that they can exchange messages like via basic messaging, or does it mean something else? Because with the base requirements, what I'm having a bit of a problem is, okay, let's say I support all that base requirements, but I don't support anything else. I won't be able to communicate. I won't be able to write messages. I won't be able to issue credentials because I don't support, for example, JSON-LD attachment or anoncred attachment, or I don't know what the third attachment was. So just with the basic requirement, it doesn't mean that I can't even test whether I have a, well, maybe we could test with discover features. But like I said, you wouldn't be able to exchange any basic messaging, or you couldn't be able to do issue credentials or present proof because of lack of attachment formats. And I think—
Yeah, but I think the attachments are on the optionals, right? And then I think you should pick one optional, at least the main plus one of the optionals, and find another Asian that has at least the same.
Right? Yeah, but what do those optionals mean? That's the part that I don't get. Like, is it optional in terms of it can be nothing? It can be you have to choose at least one or all of them.
that's true. Yeah, they need to be more specified there. What it means, but I mean, from my point of view, I would say, okay, I got I built an Asian that has the base requirement and understand JSON LD. So mm-hmm. let me pass at least all the tests that made that correct, right? And maybe I need to find an AKAPI Asian that has these same requirements plus JSON LD, and all those tests are gonna pass. So I'm gonna be confident that my agent that I built can communicate with others in that specific points, right? But maybe that's something in the AIP protocol we should really state that, right? Make a huge paragraph saying, okay, this is the way we think this is it.
Yeah. I don't think personally, I don't think that agents should determine what credential formats they use, because you try to figure out credential format to use in the actual WakiPEX protocol. Like, hey, I'm trying to issue you a JWT credential. Do you accept it? Then you can say, hey, I cannot support JWT credentials. I'm not sure that you can do that at the discovery level of the agent. It's maybe you can do hey, this agent supports JSON LD credentials only. But I'm seeing a multi-format world where you're going to have to support all of them eventually. So yeah, I think it's going to be a matter on how you want to go about telling people hey, I'm only supporting this, and then we're going to support other ones in the future.
That's a very interesting point. Alex, you used the word eventually, because our methodology with PICOS is that when we can grab some students, we have them do a small piece. And then next year we will build on top of it in some way. I was also intrigued by an analogy that will only be understood by people in this call, which is we're using Zoom as a transport layer to communicate. And we were visited by Dimitri, who was able to use English, which is the basic interop profile for this meeting. And we were able to have a brief interaction with him to discover that we had nothing further to do with each other. And that, to me, that would be the base layer of AIP3. You can meet another agent on whatever transport you and they are. You can have a brief conversation, and you may realize that there is nothing further you can do with that agent, and it's over. Or you may find, as one of you said earlier, you may find that there is some further thing that you have in common. Maybe you both do basic message and you can chat. Or maybe you both have one of the configurations for exchanging credentials in common, and then you can work together.
Yeah, that's really good, Bruce. So just building on top of that, then would we say that, trust ping is not necessary, for instance, but discover features seems to be this initial interop, spot. And we've talked about, maybe even having something above that people can agree on, just so that they can complete the discover features transaction or exchange. But assuming that the other things are taken care of, then do we agree that maybe discover features is where we would want a DIDCOM Aries interop profile 3.0 compliant agent to start? I don't
I would say the full spec, it can be to a spec. TrustPing is if you do discover feature, TrustPing is more basic than that. So
yeah, but if you had two agents, and again we're talking about an like interop profile here, so what I think is a reoccurring theme is that let's take Bruce's group, right? They're going out to let's get started with DidCom. And okay, we're going to do DidCom V2. And then they have their requirements, right? They have the things that they're interested in. I showed my bias today, basically saying like, shouldn't basic message be here? Because I'm thinking basic message is something that is this base level thing, but it's not, right? I think we're saying that it isn't. So if we were going to have someone do a DidCom challenge or implementation or usage, I should say, and it's going to be an AIP 3.0 usage, then I don't think that TrustPing is something that you would, it's a nice place to start, it's kind of a hello world, right? But it's not the thing that you need in order to be AIP 3.0. In order to be AIP 3.0, you kind of need to know what can you do? I'm here, what can I do and what can you do?
Okay, but for that, you also need out of van, right? You need to start the conversation. So you need out of van and you need discover feature.
Yes, I agree. I think we're discovering the number zero.
Right. Yes. What is right? The number zero. And I would be fine with saying that out of band has to be supported.
And then so TrustPing is so simple, so simplified that would all together is.
No, I agree that it is if you wanted someone to do, be minimally AIP 3.0, do you need TrustPing? TrustPing's easy.
Yeah. Why not? If something that we need to define, that's. You define what it is. Why discover feature? What it is discover feature?
Well, discover something feature, can you do interop?
I can do everything without discover feature today.
You feel like you can do interop without discover features?
Yeah, okay. Of course. Yeah, I send a message, don't give a reply, and that's it. If I ask for a credential, I receive a credential, we're okay. So that's why we're putting all together. So that's minimum. TrustPing, out of band, discover feature. Routing if you need it, but if not, it's okay.
Yeah, sorry, Rodo, if I come to the table saying I'm AIP3 and the other agent sends me a discover features request and I don't respond, then clearly we have nothing further to say to each other, which is fine. But we interoperate at the zero level. In other words, we can hear each other's messages. And we can then determine that there's nothing further to do.
But that does feel like you're doing DidCom, and that's not quite like interop profile. Hakan, you've got your hand up, and Hakan had said, like, what is the point of AIP 3.0? I'm trying to, try to add different constraints on you guys and see what the response is in order to kind of ferret out, like, we're not talking DidCom V2 here. We're talking AIP 3.0, which, needs DidCom. So the question is, like, but what is that minimally look like so that we don't put any extra burden on an implementer? Again, if they hook up, let's say, their agent to the Aries agent test harness and you literally have a tag in there that says AIP 3.0, which means run these tests, run my agent against these tests that are AIP 3.0. I would love it to be like, hey, you achieved, we'll say, level zero of AIP 3.0. But the question is, what is that? What belongs in there? So that's kind of the way I look at it. Hakan?
Yeah. I think I agree with you. And also, according to these base requirements, we could actually detach the issue credential and present proof from the base requirement itself. Because if we look into the other requirements that are here, except the revocation notification now, it's all related to DITCOM, so that you can actually establish a connection using DITCOM via out of band or Trustping is a part of the DITCOM spec. Discover feature is a part of the DITCOM spec. Routing is a feature of the DITCOM spec. So if you want to do the DITCOM V2, if you want AIP 3.0 based on DITCOM V2, then we would need to support these protocols that are written within the spec of DITCOM according to the diff. So that's why I think we should have all Trustping, out of band, discovery features, routing. But this is something that I don't think we should dispute because it's already in the spec. And if you want to dispute it, then I think we should bring it out to the diff working group. And also, yeah, my second point would be if we want, then we could take the exchange protocols out of the base requirements and put it into credential exchange area.
Yeah, I support it. Yeah, because it's, we can write the AIP3 in a different way as the other and say exactly what it means. Level zero, whatever we want to call it, it's just DITCOM V2 with DITIT peers and then the others, yeah, like credential exchange, mediators, and other stuff.
Yeah, other thoughts? I mean, are people warming up to this idea of the AIP 3.0 having kind of a level zero and maybe even a, maybe we have other tracks that are like, we'll say like credential exchange level one or something like that, like a way of again, guiding somebody towards like, here are minimal common paths that will help you to hopefully interop with someone else for the use case and the requirements that you have.
Yeah. So to me, level zero sounds like the DITCOM V2 spec in terms of like the features that like I'm hearing about is like, hey, like you either implement the DITCOM V2 spec or I kind of like you don't. So like, I feel like that we can already have that like with the DITIT peer libraries and you can do some like, you can kind of like spin up with some minimal scripts in Python, right? With the SigPy libraries with DITIT peer. So you can have like that demo like interoperability. But once you really start to do like anything that's not demo like, it's going to get challenging to figure out exactly like the credential formats, the signature types, making sure like everything works right, like all the models are mapped properly. That's when it kind of becomes like more dicey. I think that we already have that level zero interoperability level where we can talk between different like transport layers, since that's defined the DITCOM V2 spec in and of itself, it's transport agnostic. Yeah, that's kind of like, I agree with Akan as well from that perspective in terms of like, we should implement at least minimally everything that's implemented in the spec.
Okay. Now, is that, in reality, is that what's in the SigPy libraries right now, for instance?
Yeah, because like the problem that we had with JFF is that Snor and Brian, they used the DITIT web. So had they used DITIT peer, it would have been like a breeze. So yeah, that was the only issue there. It was like a DITIT method problem. Like it wasn't like the messages themselves were like too complicated or whatnot. The reason why we had to break down the messages is because we didn't have enough time and the encryption wasn't working. So like we tried to like reduce the message exchange so we didn't have to implement all the underlying cryptography since it wasn't working in the first place. But had we had all of the low level stuff implemented, like writing Wacky PEX as an exchange, it wouldn't be that big of an issue because if you just support JWT, all you have to implement is like those Jose library and most developers are like familiar with JWTs and whatnot, rather than JSON-LD or anoncreds or the ISO MDL spec that eventually is going to be and whatnot.
Okay. So shall I comment then on pulling these out into as optional? Is everybody okay with that for Wacky PEX, for issue credential and present proof?
And I think revocation, right? Because revocation is regarding credentials, I think.
Okay. So all three of these suggesting is everybody okay with me putting the comment that the Aries DidCom V2 working group would like to consider pulling revocation notification issue credential and present proof into an optional section?
I guess just to play devil's advocate, aren't we just then implementing the DidCom V2 spec if we don't have like the issue credential in there?
Well, I think that the at least one difference would be specifying the peer did. And that at least shows, like, if we were, again, to put it in terms of the trust over IP stack, that would show layer one, you know, what is, you know, it's nice to have super simple layer one, you know, go peer did, right? Layer two, DidCom V2 implementation, right? And then essentially we're saying layer three stuff is all these optional things that maybe we have, you know, documentation that says, okay, these things are optional, but, you know, here's a common path for issuing credentials or, you know, whatever it might be. Thoughts on that? I mean, it seems like very little, but it sounds like Alex for JFF, for instance, you know, it would be what you guys would have been way more successful if that had been, you know, specified that way, possibly.
Yeah, definitely. I think it would have been helpful if we can just have agreed on like using did peers. Yeah, but we didn't know that the library's support for adding new did methods were that wonky.
Yeah. And that's what we want people to kind of understand is, yeah. You know, okay, yeah, maybe this may seem trivial to you, but, you know, trust us, it's not, right? Or something like that. And there's probably something else that we're not quite thinking about yet that might also go in kind of this minimal, you know, layer one, layer two. There might be something in there that we're not thinking of, although I wouldn't know. You would know better, so.
A minor point, Lance, you could soften the blow by saying into a recommended optional section or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
Then that's a nod to the fact that it had been in the base.
Right.
As someone said earlier, I think it was Alex or Hecken, we would want to support not just the Wacky PEX way of doing credentials, but also at least one of the others and perhaps all of them eventually, but you work your way up.
Yeah. And yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was done.
Okay. Yeah. And right. And so that might also be our opportunity to say, okay, here's this thing called Wacky PEX Lite or Wacky DidCom, you know, minimal, or, you know, basically saying, okay, this is inspired by Wacky DidCom. If you implement this, you're, you know, we'll pretend it's 33% of the way there for Wacky DidCom, but you can start interoperating with other people who have implemented, you know, Wacky DidCom simple. Does that seem reasonable, Alex, based on your experience and anybody else thoughts? We've got 4 minutes, 3 minutes.
I'm trying to think. Sorry. I guess like what I'm trying, I'm not sure that. So like the problem is it's not like the Wacky PEX itself, like just define like the messages that need to be sent back and forth. And like, that's not hard in and of itself, right? Like it's some headers that you got to put on in different messages. The hard thing is like doing like supporting the actual decryption and like the, do you support credentials definitions, credentials presentations, do you support JSON LD? like just an LD processor. Those are like the other things. It's not necessarily like, I don't think that WakiPax, like whether like you ask for getting a credential first or not, is that challenging, is actually like doing the validations, like do you need to do that or all that kind of stuff. Because like you can always omit it in the WakiPax, like some steps are optional already in there. So like you don't have to request a credential. You can just like, hey, like propose a request and then like accept the request and then like you can issue the credential and then accept the credential. So I think it's relatively minimal already in the sense that it doesn't define how to like send multiple credentials at once or that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so like I'm not sure like breaking that down even like the WakiPax like even further, because then all you just do is just like issue a credential and that would be it, in my opinion. Because yeah, like the credential manifest is already optional in WakiPax.
Tell me something.
So, yeah.
So if you if you do discover features, does it tell you, okay, I support WakiPax, but I didn't implement these optional pieces? I'm going to assume it's not, traditionally hasn't been that expressive. Not that you couldn't do it using discover features, but you get what I'm getting at, right? That again, this discoverability, okay, if there is a bunch of parts that are optional, how do I know if you did it or not? Do I just start, we just try and then we break, or, you know, it would be nice to, you know, be able to discover ahead of time.
I guess it would be nice to discover ahead of time to do, like, what's the use case, I guess? Like, I'm trying to figure out, hey,
yeah, so
I want to do, like, request a credential, but, like, you don't support me asking for credential? Like, what's the...
Well, I was thinking more, like, so you had mentioned, like, credential formats, for instance. What if you wanted to say something like, hey, my preference is that you give me a credential in JSON LD, but...
Right, so you do that whenever somebody, like, in the WakiPax protocol, that's when you do that. It's like, hey, I'm trying to send you a JWT credential. Do you want to accept it? And then you can say, yes, I want to accept it. And then like the next message is like somebody that's issuing you that credential with the data that they send you in the propose. And then you can accept that, or like you can decline the proposal. So like that's when you would do that.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's like, hey, these are like, what proof types do you support? What credential do you support? Like, I'm proposing this credential. Do you want to accept it or not? So that's already done at the WakiPax level. Like, that's get negotiated in there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Any last parting thoughts? Because that's our time. Is everybody feel all right with the direction we're heading?
Yeah, maybe one thing that I would like to add or ask to the Aries community, because I mean, most of the people participating in here is, if I understand correctly, not using Aries framework as a underlying framework, let's say. I would like to ask this as well to the Aries community who worked on the AIP 1.0 and 2.0 to get like a bit of background information about like what was the perspective that they were taking on. Like, was it the perspective of credential issuance? Was it the perspective of fulfilling the interactions that are happening between issue holder verifier? Or was it more general? And depending on that, I think we will have a better direction of like having the areas into a profile tree.
Yeah, good point. And learn from that perspective, but then I think bringing this new perspective of, hey, this is a group of people who I actually have to deal with DidCon V2, right? And you know, maybe the perspective has shifted now. You know, obviously Bruce is absolutely. I think that's perfect. Okay, well, I think there is a meeting, the user group meetings later today for Diff, and so that could be an opportunity. And then Aries working group has been covering AIP as well, I think on Wednesdays, so that's been really good with Sam. So okay,
could you send me that link, please, Lance, the Aries one? I'm not aware of that one. Thank you.
Yes, yeah, sure. I will do that right now. Other than that, any other parting thoughts?
Happy holidays to everyone.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, likewise.
Happy holidays.
Congrats, Rodolfo.
Thank you.
That's right. They'll be celebrating for 4 years now. Yeah, that's good. Okay, the link to the latest Aries working group. People are you know, obviously free to jump off, but I just wanted to get that into the chat. Very good. Great to see you all. We'll get together in the new year. Yeah. Goodbye.
Good.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.